Amen. Well, hey, if you have your Bibles tonight, open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. Hey, as you open up, I just want you to kind of think, just evaluate just maybe your life for just a moment. But anybody ever feel like you're just not enough? Meaning by that, like there's just either maybe there's not enough of you to go around, or like you don't measure up in maybe a certain arena or certain aspect of your life. You just feel like, man, there's just always more, always just something else out there. You just feel like you're just not enough. I don't know if you've ever been through a season like that, or maybe they're not seasons. Maybe that's just kind of like a constant state of how we feel just at times in different arenas. But it's definitely been just one of those seasons of life for me. And, just to kind of share just a little bit, I think as we kind of walk through just a unique season as a church, and at least for our campus, the first time for us to walk through a season where we've been down a staff member just for this whole semester. I mean, it's just been one of those seasons where you feel like there's not enough of you to go around. And I haven't carried all of that weight. Jason has carried a lot of that weight. Lindsay has carried a lot of that weight. But it's just been a season where you just feel like, man, there's just always something else to do. There's always something else going on. And sometimes in the midst of those seasons, you just feel like you're not enough. I don't know if you've been there, but I think there are just all sorts of circumstances, all sorts of situations that can cause us to feel that way. Maybe it's your job. You know, maybe just at your job, whatever it is you do, like your job just seems like too much. Or maybe you've had to have just a conversation with your boss, and there's just something going on in your life and your boss isn't satisfied. And so you feel like you're not enough there. Or maybe you've been given like new tasks and new responsibilities, and you got new things on your plate, and you feel like, man, I am just not enough. There's not enough of me. And our job can cause us to feel that way. But I think outside of that and apart from that, a lot of times for me, it's caused by just relationships in your life, like just the different relationships that you try to manage and you try to maintain. You feel like there's not enough of you. I feel like this way sometimes as a, just even as a husband, you know, like I want to be the husband that God has called me to be. Scripture says that I'm to love my wife as Christ loves the church. And that's just like this huge weight of responsibility. And I feel like, man, I'm just not enough. I can't do that. And I feel like at times it's just not enough. I'm not enough. I feel like that all the time as a parent. It'd be so much better, I feel like, if I just knew always what to do or how to respond or what to say or how to just impart wisdom to Miles. But there's just time as a parent. I mean, I feel I'm not enough. And even if you're not married or not a parent, I was just thinking back and I can remember even before getting married, just different relationships in life. And at times those relationships would come to an end. And whenever you're in the midst of brokenness or a broken relationship, especially, those are just tough times. And I can remember seasons just feeling like, you know, what did I do wrong? Was there something that I did? Or just wondering, is there something wrong with me? Why am I not enough to make this relationship work? And those are just seasons that sometimes will cause us to feel like we're not enough. I think another arena of life, and I see this in my life, is just in our struggle with temptation. Like maybe you've wrestled with this before. We've been talking over the last couple of weeks as we went through 1 Peter, just the call of Scripture for us to live holy lives. And last Sunday, we talked about hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And as I think about my life, now I think I genuinely want those things. Okay, I want to live, and I bet many of you want to live a holy life. And when Jason was talking on Sunday about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you want to do that. I mean, there's something that struck something in you, that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. You thought, man, I want to do that. I want that to be who I am. But there's just times, right? And I know myself. And I know just my own struggles sometimes with temptation and with sin. And I know the mistakes that I make, that they're just, man, there are times every day where I say things and I do things and I think things that are contrary to what God's word says I'm supposed to do. There's just this sin in my life. And so I just think, God, I want to live this holy life and I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness, but God, I just feel like I'm not enough sometimes. And that begins to affect my relationship with God. If you've ever been that way and you carry that shame and you carry that guilt, that affects your relationship with God. We were talking about in my small group this past week just about God's love for us and how God's love is unchanging. And I believe that. I hope you believe that God loves you and His love is perfect. It's unconditional. It's unending. God's love is just perfect in every way. He can't love you more and He can't love you less. But what I find myself in this, I guess, journey or pursuit of trying to feel like I have to measure up, I find myself at times just trying to prove to God that He's legit, like He's like making a good decision to love me. Like, I don't know if you ever feel that way, but I feel sometimes like I'm not necessarily trying to earn it, but I'm just trying to prove like, man, He should love me. And if you've ever felt that pressure, if you've ever put that sort of pressure on your life or you feel like you have to measure up, then you know you're not enough. That, man, we're going to always fall short in that. We don't measure up at times to these standards. And so, I don't know, maybe somewhere in all of that, you can relate to this feeling, feeling like at times you're just not enough, that there's not enough of you to go around. And if you've ever felt that way, if you've ever just experienced that, then you know how crippling that place can be. It's a place where I feel like just we're so prone, perhaps, to fear or to doubt or insecurity. Just all of these things that we allow to creep into our lives that Satan sees. And he sees these weak areas and he sees where maybe he can get a foothold. And he comes in and I think he brings fear and doubt and insecurities. And he uses these things to keep us from ever moving forward, to keep us just discouraged, to keep us from growing. It's just one of the ways I think he works. And just thinking about that and thinking about this passage, this chapter in 1 Peter that we've been in, one of my struggles just in preaching these last 3 weeks, of preaching verses 14 through 17 about how God calls us to live different lives and He calls us to be holy, just one of my struggles has just been trying to manage this tension. All right? I think there's this tension between the call of Scripture on our lives to be holy, just as Christ is holy. All right, that's what he said. That's what verse 16 said. We're to be holy just as Christ is holy. But there's this tension between our pursuit of those things and I think how discouraged maybe at times we can feel when we don't live up to that. Like I've wanted to be at least sensitive to that tension. And so we've talked about over the last couple of weeks just about obedience. And one of the things we've tried to say is that obedience is a response. Right? Obedience, when we talk about living holy and being obedient, is not something we do in order to earn God's love or in order to earn His favor. It's really, it should be something that we do in response. It's something we do in response to the gospel. When we realize God does love us and He loves us enough to send His Son to die for us, that we could have a relationship with Him. If we consider all of that God does, our response is obedience. And so obedience is a gospel response. We said it's also gospel enabled, meaning that it's really the gospel that enables us to be obedient in the first place, that we're so dependent on the Holy Spirit and so dependent on God to come to not only convict us, but He's the one who changes us and transforms us. So we just need Him in every way. But at the same time, even as I'm teaching this series these past 3 weeks, I know my tendency. And my tendency is whenever I hear a sermon, whenever I hear a message on holiness, on living differently, on, man, just pursuing things of God and not the things of the world, my tendency, my temptation in all of that is to go back and say, okay, what are the rules that I need to keep? What are the things I need to do? What are the things I don't need to do? And a lot of times I go and create all of these rules for myself. And if I'm not careful, for me, Christianity, this whole thing called Christianity, can just become a big list of do's and don'ts. I got to do this, and I better not do these things. And that's really all it becomes. And it becomes to I mean, almost separate from even my need. And really what it's truly all about is our need for a Savior and our relationship with Christ and relationship to God. I mean, we said last week that everything is, that's what God is doing. He's bringing us to Him. He's calling us to relationship. But again, if it just becomes a list of rules, a list of do's and don'ts, you will very quickly find out, if you've ever tried to walk through that, you'll find out very quickly you don't measure up. Right? That you're not enough. And so here's what I want us to do tonight. I just have one truth really to share with you tonight. But man, if you've ever struggled with this feeling, if you've ever struggled with this feeling, a feeling like you're not enough, really what I want to try to do is just encourage you with one truth tonight. And it's not going to sound very encouraging at first, but I hope it will be as we kind of unpack it. Here's the truth that we're going to just kind of unpack tonight. The truth is that you may not be enough. You may not be enough. In fact, I would go ahead and say probably you aren't enough. And unless Christ comes back, you probably never will be enough. All right. Most of the times you may not be enough. I told you it wasn't going to sound very encouraging at first. All right, but what we're going to learn tonight in this passage is that Christ is always enough. He's always enough for every need, every situation that you're facing. He is. God is enough. God in Christ is enough for us. Let's look at 1 Peter, all right? I'm going to go back and start reading in verse 14 just so we can read these verses we were in the last, and then we're going to get to our passage for tonight. 1 Peter 1, beginning in 14. Here's the call upon our lives. He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. And so there's been this call, right? This call to live holy, to live rightly, to live according to God's word. And then he tells us why here. Verse 18, he says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. You know, as you're reading those first three verses, there's a part, even as we were teaching it the last 3 weeks, there's a part of those first three verses that just seems unreasonable. Hey, be holy as I am holy. And when I read that, I want to say, I'm not God. All right? And so it almost seems unfair that God would ask me to be what he is. It would be like in my mind, I'm trying to equate it, me asking my 3-year-old son, Miles, hey, Miles, be responsible because I'm somewhat responsible. You know, hey, Miles, take care of yourself. That would be an unreasonable request for me to make to a 3-year-old. And so there's a part of me that when I first read that, I feel like, God, that's so unreasonable. It feels like it's impossible for us to be holy. All right? How can we ever live up to that? And really, I mean, if you go back to some of the scripture that we looked at, even last Sunday in Romans 3, scripture seems to confirm that it's almost an impossible task for us. All right? Some of the scriptures, like Romans 3:10, it just says, there is none righteous, not even one. All right? That passage says, there's not a single one of us are holy. Not one of us is righteous. Romans 3:23, all right? There's this past tense for all have sinned. And I think all of us can acknowledge that there have been times in our life when we've sinned. But one of just the biggest revelations in my life, I used to say for all have sinned and fallen, as if fallen was something I did in the past. But when I first just begin to realize in this verse that verb fall is present tense, as in every single day we fall short of the glory of God. We don't measure up. We're not enough. All right? That is a truth of Scripture. And what I think Paul is saying in here and what's consistent is that in and of ourselves, we can't do this. Right? In and of ourselves, we will never be enough. And so that's why verses 18 and 19 that Peter comes back to tonight are so important. So important in our pursuit of holiness and our pursuit of righteousness for us to understand what verses in 18 and 19 says. 18 starts out. It says, knowing you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold. All right. In other words, not only are you not enough, but even those things that the world deems most valuable, things like silver and gold, aren't enough. Okay, when this was written, silver and gold would have been the most valuable commodities that they have. The word redeemed is a word that kind of refers to slave trade industries where it would have been most used. You redeemed a slave, meaning you paid a price for that slave. You offered up a certain amount of silver or gold, and you determined that slave's value based on how much silver or gold you paid for him. And Peter says, hey, you weren't redeemed with silver and gold. Your value, your price isn't determined by these things, which are just perishable. They're fading. They're not enough. Okay, you're not enough. The things of the world are not enough. But what Christ offers us and the redemption he brings, right? The value that he assigns to our lives, he's just saying it can't be earned and it can't be gained. You can't do enough. You can't be enough. You can't achieve enough. You can't earn enough. And I think it's so important for maybe in some ways for us just to come to grips with that and just to acknowledge that. Right? But how verse 19 starts is so important. And if you have a pen, man, just underline, circle this conjunction, the word but. Right? It's so important. If you put it kind of in parentheses, he says, but you've been redeemed how? Right? You've been redeemed with precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And so what Peter says, he says, you know, you're not enough. The things of this world aren't enough. But that's not where our hope is. That's not where our hope lies. That's not what God offers us. And I was just thinking about that and just even thinking about some different areas where maybe we don't feel like we're enough. And I think God knew, he knew our tendency to give in to fear. Right? He knew that we were going to be prone to be crippled by fear. He knew that we would sometimes be ruled or driven by insecurity. He knew how easily we would be discouraged. And so our redemption, our standing before him, it just has nothing to do with us. It's not in what you do. It's not in what you say. It's not in your ability to hold and to keep the law and to do everything that God's word said. It just doesn't stand with us. Right? Our hope, our security, our redemption, Peter says, is in the precious blood of Christ. It's in what he's done. It's what he's purchased. All right, our value has been determined by his blood. It's the value that he's assigned. And he says, listen, here's how valuable I see my children, valuable enough that I will send my son and he'll shed his blood. And so I was just trying to think all these different arenas of life where maybe you feel like maybe you're wrestling with that temptation of not being enough. How does the blood of Christ, how does the redemption of Christ affect that area? Maybe it comes down to your job. And I think what we could say, even just reading this passage and reading the previous verses, is that, you know what, you're not going to be perfect. And there's going to be things placed before you that are too big for you to do on your own. Some of you are just graduating and about to enter into the workforce for the first time. And there's just going to be things that are too big for you and things that you can't do on your own. And as long as we're human, we're always going to fall short in some areas of our life. But I think God gives us those things at times. I think God gives us challenges in work. And I think sometimes also God even takes those things away. And so maybe there's times where you're unemployed or man, you just things have been taken away from you because what God is trying to teach us, he's trying to teach us to rely and to depend on him, right? To find that he is enough, whether it's in meeting a challenge or whether it's in maybe we've put our hope in those things and so they've been ripped away. He's trying to teach us not to depend on ourselves, to depend on him. Right, that our hope is in him. What about relationships? All right, I have to acknowledge as a husband that I'm not always going to be enough. I'm not always going to be perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. Same thing, I'm not going to be a perfect dad. Again, as long as we're human, we're going to fall short. All right, and I think part of the process, All right, part of the process is us growing as husbands and wives and parents is realizing not only are we not going to be perfect, we're going to fall short, all right, but our spouse and our children are going to fall short. And so part of the process of even just applying this and growing is learning to extend grace. That just as God has extended us grace in the blood of Christ, we're to extend grace to other people. But here's what it doesn't mean. Okay, if you're here and you're married or you're a parent, it doesn't mean you just say, well, I give up. I'm never going to be a good enough husband. I'm never going to be a good enough wife. That's not the response that this chapter says that we should have. All right, Peter would say is that the correct response would be for me to go to God on my knees and really just beg and ask in this particular area, would his blood cover us? Right, in the areas where maybe you fall short in your relationships, those are the areas where you need the precious blood of Christ to come and to cover you and to help you grow in holiness, to grow in righteousness, to change us and transform us, to make us the people he's created to be. If you're dating, all right, we talked about that. If you're dating and you find yourself in the midst of a broken relationship, and maybe you made the mistake that led to the break in this relationship. Maybe you made a mistake in giving that guy or that girl a chance, but you just feel like at times, and you can get to these places where you're just stuck in a rut. I mean, you feel like I'm in the same place that I've always been. How did I get back? How did I get back to this place? And you can blame yourself, accuse yourself for doing the same old things you always do. And I think my encouragement to you in reading this passage would just be encouraging that God hasn't given up on you. Okay, if you think about the blood of Christ, it is a guarantee that God has not given up on us. That he loves you. And he wants the very best for you. And he bought you at a price so that you would be his. And I think sometimes he allows us, I'm not saying all the time, but I think sometimes he allows us to go through broken relationships until we get to a place where we learn and we acknowledge that he is enough. And maybe that's what God's trying to teach you in the midst of that brokenness, that you need him way more than you need that guy or that girl. And sometimes I think it's not until we get to that place of acknowledging that he is enough, that he's going to allow us to have that relationship. What about temptation? I think God allows us at times to be tempted so that we're constantly aware of how great our need is for him. That temptation, one of the purposes of temptation is to turn us toward God. Romans 7, we've talked about this passage just a ton of times, but it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture because Paul just really sounds like schizophrenic here, like he is messed up, and it gives me hope that maybe there's hope for messed up people like me if Paul was this messed up. But Romans 7, there's this passage where Paul's just saying, you know, I want to do these things, but I don't do them, and I don't want to do some things, and I constantly find myself doing those things. He just kind of goes back, and he's like, man, I'm just a wreck. I'm a mess. In fact, he says in verse 24, he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? And maybe you felt like that. I mean, that is the cry of a man that feels like he's not enough, that he doesn't measure up. Wretched man that I am, who's going to set me free from this? And he answers his own question in verse 25. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right, it's this idea. You may not be enough, but Christ is always enough. And his blood covers our transgressions. It covers our sin. And he is our hope. If we're ever going to live the life he calls us to live in 14 to 16, it'll be because Christ transforms us, because his blood forgives us and washes us and cleanses us and changes us and allows us to live that sort of life. And when we come to grips with that, when like Paul, we come to a place where we acknowledge, I'm not enough, but God, you are enough. That affects your relationship with God. Just as I told you, sometimes it affects my relationship negatively. For Paul, when he got to this place that said, everything I need is in Christ, everything I need is in him, my only hope is to seek him and to go to him. Look at the very next line he wrote in Romans. If you've been reading L3, you read this, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All right, that's that line. We're not enough, but Christ is enough. He's always enough. And so here's how I want us to close tonight. We're going to close taking communion tonight. And communion is forever for us. It's a sign or it's a symbol that God alone is enough. That in all the areas of our life where we fail and we don't measure up, His blood was enough. And He covers us in these areas. And I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know. Maybe there are no areas. Maybe this passage was just for me tonight. But whatever the areas in your life where you feel like, man, you're just weak and you feel like you don't measure up. And maybe there's areas where you have fears or areas where you have doubts and areas where you have insecurity. Here's what I hope happens tonight, just in these next few moments. Is that as we eat this piece of bread, which represents Christ's body, and we drink from this cup, which represents His blood, I hope there'll be for you tonight just a reminder that our hope isn't in us. Our security is not in us. And those things are found in Christ. We'll never be enough, but we've been bought at a price and we've been redeemed. He was the perfect sacrifice. Christ is the perfect sacrifice, and He's more than enough. Whatever it is, your situation, whatever your circumstance, He's more than enough. Right? He's big enough. He's big enough that I can handle it. But when I think about this bread and I think about this cup of juice, it's a reminder to me that He's also small enough. Right? Not only is He big enough, but He was willing to become one of us. He was willing to come near. And in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our doubts, in the midst of our securities, it's a reminder that He's small enough. He's close enough. He's near enough. Our ushers, in just a minute, they're going to come forward. And just as they do, man, I want you to just spend some time just acknowledging where you are, okay? Maybe begin to identify, is there an area of your life where there's fear, there's doubt, there's insecurity, there's anxiety, whatever that may be. And would you just take a few moments, we're going to sing or play a song over you guys, and just take some moments just to acknowledge that area, but would you just pray, would you ask God to meet you in that area? All right, that His blood would begin to redeem us and would begin to change us and begin to transform us. Let's pray.